News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the fascinating northeastern part of India, each episode brings new insights and captivating stories. Here is a sneak peek at what we have in store for you today. Today, we take you on an exclusive journey into the culture and heritage of Assam. Known for its lush landscapes and vibrant cultures, Assam is a melting pot of history and diversity. Journalist and writer from the state of Assam, Sangeeta Barua Pishorati, will take us on a journey through the cultural and natural marvels of this stunning northeastern gem. And folks, we will bring you a Republic Day report from Nagaland and share Tripura's expectations from the Union Budget 2025, which will be presented on February 1st. But first, listen to a special report from our Shillong correspondent on the negative impact of social media on school children's mental health and focus.
Recent studies show that exposure to social media is taking a toll on young minds. School children are increasingly struggling with concentration, and experts believe this is linked to their constant use of social media, which may contribute to anxiety, depression, and long-term mental health issues. Swapnil Thambe, Director of School Literacy and Education, highlights the issue, explaining that while social media can empower young people, when used appropriately, it can also be harmful, especially when overused. Thambe, who has also worked in career counselling at St. Edmund's School, observes that many students are finding it difficult to focus and concentrate. He explains that addiction to short, fast-paced videos on social media is causing a sharp decline in attention spans. In fact, he was informed by teachers that children can focus for only about 5 minutes during a 30-minute class.
Most of the kids' attention span has decreased because of these reel culture, short culture and all that. No, because they're very addictive and the dopamine release. So they cannot concentrate more than 30 seconds. So in the class, teachers were telling me in a half an hour period, in 5 minutes they lose interest. They are not able to concentrate. They're not able to look at the teacher, listen. They are looking here and there. They're getting, if you take away their mobile phones, some parents were sharing, they start shaking, that anxiety.
Thambe stresses that social media access should be linked to maturity, something many students lack currently. He suggests that instead of providing students with smartphones, schools should offer controlled internet access through computers where students can explore educational content.
So everything has a good side, everything has a bad side. The thing with social media and internet is that it can empower you like anything if you use it the right way, and it can destroy you also. I mean, if you get addicted. So you need to have maturity. When the kid is in school, if they want access to internet, they should be given access in the form of a computer where they can learn. That's fine. We do have computer periods, right? So where they can access and all that. I think access to internet, that too monitored access through a desktop or a laptop, that is good enough to give them all the resources.
Sister Delphine Fernandez, former principal of Holy Child School, who voiced her concerns, noting that social media addiction is affecting children's ability to concentrate, both in school and in extracurricular activities. She pointed out that students are often so absorbed in browsing social media, watching reels and playing games that they sometimes forget essential activities like eating meals. Worse still, many students are falling prey to cyberbullying, leading to increased anxiety and disrupted sleep patterns.
The social media has become an addiction and a possible destruction of the young children. This has made way to decrease in attention span. They fail to focus for a longer duration on a specific task in their study and even in extracurricular activities. The leisure time is spent on browsing mobile screen, watching reels, videos and playing games. Yet times they forget even to take their meals. Many students have and are becoming prey to cyberbullying and few other forms of unknown fears, which makes them prey for anxiety and depression. The sleep patterns change and thus get mentally disturbed, even for silly matters. By being aware of the risks and benefits of the social media, the parents can guide their children to navigate smoothly the challenges of social media.
Joydeep Sen, a science teacher at Little Flower School, concurs these observations, stressing that students today are less engaged and more impatient. He notes that sustaining students' attention in class has become progressively harder due to their addiction to quick, stimulating online content.
I feel social media has significantly impacted students' concentration level. In the past, students were more engaged and attentive. But due to the relentless exposure to shorts and reel videos, the ability to concentrate has drastically reduced. Additionally, increased aggressiveness and impatience are being observed in today's youth. This also, I feel, is likely linked to the excessive social media use. As a teacher, sustaining students' focus throughout a lesson has become a major challenge. This issue calls for collective efforts from all stakeholders, whether the teachers, parents, educators, government officials, education department. Everyone has to look for through it and find a solution to it. Otherwise, the attention span of today's young children and our future citizen is at stake.
Given the concerns, it's more crucial than ever to address the dangers of excessive social media use. Experts suggest that educational institutions must take a leading role in promoting mental health awareness and digital literacy, helping students manage their online presence responsibly. This is Lucy Gabriel with Lamprong Nonspang, reporting for Northeast Diary from Akashwani Shillong.
Nagaland joined the rest of the country in celebrating the 76th Republic Day with great enthusiasm and patriotic fervor. A series of functions were held at the respective district headquarters and subdivisions to commemorate the occasion. The main Republic Day celebration was held at New Secretariat Plaza in Kohima, where Governor La Ganesan unfurled the national flag and took the salute from 17 parade contingents. Our Kohima correspondent Asuno brings us this report.
The 76th Republic Day celebration in Nagaland featured a vibrant and diverse display of cultural performances by various tribes alongside parade contingents. Governor of Nagaland, La Ganesan, in his address, reflected on the significance of the day, highlighting that 75 years ago, the Constitution of India came into force, setting the course for the country's progress and development.
I extend warm greetings to all of you on the 76th Republic Day. It was on this day 75 years ago that the constitution of our country came into force. Since then, our constitution's ideals have provided us the direction for progress and development. The past decade of our republic show the resilience of our constitution and the wisdom of its makers. On this 20th January, let us remind ourselves of the responsibility we have toward achieving the higher ideals enshrined in our constitution. Let us work towards ensuring that we take the nation forward in the true spirit of the democratic ideals of our constitution.
Dressed in their uniforms, 17 parade contingents from the state police, CRPF, NCC cadets, pipe bams, among others, participated in the march pass, with Arunachal Pradesh police also showcasing their marching skills. On the occasion, the governor also handed awards to individuals in various categories such as President's Medal for Distinguished Service, Police Medal for Meritorious Service, and Governor's Commendation Certificate, among others.
Sri Rubin Sharma, Director General of Police, Nagaland. He has been awarded President's Medal for Distinguished Service for his exemplary dedication, transformative performance and commitment to duty.
Marking the celebration, Governor Gunnison also flagged off Chief Minister Mobile Operation Theatre and inaugurated exhibition stalls put up by various departments. The celebration was further enriched by cultural presentations from various Naga tribes and medley songs by Bright Lights Dimapur and an impressive taekwondo display. For Northeast Diary, this is Asunyo, Akashvani News, Kohima.
Tripura, a state in the northeastern part of India, possesses tremendous potential for growth. With the Union Budget 2025 set to be presented on February 1st, the state anticipates a slew of measures to accelerate its development. Our Agartala correspondent Kunal Shinde brings this report.
The central government has in recent years opened up many avenues for economic development of rural people and especially women and youth in the state of Tripura. The government has also been consistently providing financial support to the farmers through schemes like Pradhan Mantri Kisan Samriddhi Yojana. In addition to this, the Lakhpati Didi and Drone Didi for easy feeding of fertilizers in the cropping fields gives dividends to the farmers. Also, PM Divine that has brought yields in internal road communication and infrastructures needs more focus and enhancement. In order to further boost the state's economy, economists and civil society feel that Tripura has a huge potential to explore tourism economy, which needs more focus to excel. Also, Tripura, along with the entire Northeast, can be an educational hub. Tripura shares an 856-kilometer-long border with Bangladesh. Instances of smuggling of narcotics, sugar, and infiltration are reported on a regular basis, even though the alert BSF Jawans keeps a close vigil along the borders still. More intensive security cover along the borders is needed to make the state less dependable on the neighboring country. For decades, the state capital Agartala has been used as a transit point by the Bangladeshi people who visit India for medical tourism and for business purposes. Experts view that the very trade relation needs to be strengthened and expanded.
But it is something that we all, particularly from the Northeast, we expect, because the government is expected to play a bigger role. The private sector is limited, so government initiatives are always a welcome thing for the people of the region. Something, a kind of special project, maybe something like the Statue of Unity, or maybe on the Manika Kings, a thing, something, which can be a center of attraction, a declaration on that aspect, which can be an attraction for the tourists from the rest of India. And we can align the other tourist spots that we have. But we really need something which is big, which will draw the tourists in big number. Now, we have had high hopes on connectivity. We have broad gauge connectivity till Subroom, and even there are linkages with other parts of the northeastern region. People are moving more in trains, and the demand for train wagons, train coaches, train engines are increasing. Why can't we think of having coach factories in the northeastern region? Why can't we think of having locomotives being set up in this region?
There are so much of development in infrastructure during the last 10 years. Even then, there are scopes to improve the infrastructure, modern institutions, so that not only the employment issue, but the communication and other issues should be developed. Young, those who are seeking jobs, more skill development institutions can be set up, so that with the budgetary allocation of some skill development institution can provide a suitable training to the job seekers. They can start their new venture. And for setting up the skill development institutions, government can collaborate with the important institution in other parts of the country. It can be a joint collaboration.
Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Agartala.
And now let's explore the incredible Assam, the land of blue hills, and the mighty Brahmaputra. Join us as Sangeeta Barua Pishorati, with her deep knowledge and passion, takes us on a journey through the cultural and natural marvels of Assam. Narrated by Sanjeev Barua, this session will explore the region's breathtaking landscapes, vibrant heritage, and the iconic Brahmaputra River that has shaped its history and way of life. Stay tuned as we celebrate the essence of Assam, a land where nature meets tradition in perfect harmony.
Prag Jyotishpur, or the Kamarupa of the ancient times, the abode of Goddess Kamakhya, the land of Shankaradeva, the great Vaishnava reformer of the 16th century, who gave India its classical dance form, Satriya, among other gems. The motherland of brave Ahom General Lachit Borphukan, who chopped off the head of a traitor maternal uncle to win the Battle of Saraighat. The decisive battle, fought in 1671, dashed all hopes of the Mughals from establishing its sway over the northeast. Unlike other parts of present-day India, Assam came under the British Empire only in 1826, after its Burmese invaders lost the battle against the better-armed British. Today, Assam is the gateway to India's northeast. Its first city, Guwahati, the business hub of the region, the largest of the seven sister states, is endowed with natural bounty, large-scale greenery, birds, insects, orchids, the feted one-horned rhino, the Holoch gibbon, besides other rare wild animals, residing in its 20 wildlife sanctuaries and 5 national parks, 2 of which are designated World Heritage Sites. Acres and acres of tea estates roll on its hills and dales. A large number of tribes make up its social fabric. All of these, along with 2 international borders shared with Bangladesh and Bhutan, throw up a range of unusual places, people, food and sights for a tourist to experience. Guwahati itself holds quite a few options for a visitor to soak in the essence of the state. The city draws its name from 2 Assamese words, Gua or Arekanat and Hati or market, thus tracing its origins to a time when it was a trading post on River Brahmaputra, that huge mass of water, one of India's largest rivers that flows by the city. To the spiritually oriented, Guwahati is home to Goddess Kamakhya. The ancient temple situated atop Nilachal Hills, about 8 kilometers from Guwahati city, is one of the most important sacred sites of Goddess Durga, a must-visit pilgrimage destination for a devout Hindu. A visitor can begin the day with a trip to the temple to get a first-hand feel of tantric Hindu practice. During the festival of Ambubachi, every June, thousands of pilgrims visit the temple from across the country. Inscriptional evidence dates the temple to 5th, 6th century, though the present structure was erected in the 16th century by the mighty Koch king Naranarayana. Yet another one-of-a-kind experience for a visitor can be Umananda, the tiny island in the middle of Brahmaputra. Take a ferry ride to the island from the city's Kachari Ghat jetty to take a peek at the 17th century Shiva temple built by the Ahoms, who ruled the state for 600 years, longest by any invader in present-day Indian history. The Ahoms, also referred to as Thais, are believed to have come from what is existing Thailand. The sculptures of Surya, Ganesha, Shiva, Devi and Vishnu with his 10 incarnations engraved on the temple of Umananda indicate the fact that worshippers of the region followed all the principal Hindu deities. The main shrine can be reached by a flight of steep steps. 2 other temples worth a visit are Ugratara, built in 1725, and Sukreshwar, built in 1744. In fact, Guwahati comprises of many old temples and water bodies built by Ahom kings, which had its capital here after Sibsagar, a town in Upper Assam, then known as Rangpur. The water bodies, or pukhari, worth a visit around Guwahati city are Digali Pukhari, Nagkata Pukhari, Sil Pukhari and Jor Pukhari. Then there is the National Museum to visit, the Guwahati Tea Auction Center, the largest in the world, besides looking around the local bazaars like the Pan Bazaar, Paltan Bazaar and Fancy Bazaar. Also the Cotton College, the premier educational institute established in 1901 by the British in Pan Bazaar. A day-long trip from Guwahati can be planned to Sualkuchi village, the center of the famous Assam silk. About 35 kilometers north of Guwahati, these weavers' village exudes a charm like no other.
Almost every house has a shed that has the traditional bamboo looms, the gentle click-clacking of which can be heard from the streets. There are about 17,000 silk looms presently working in Sualkuchi, which produce an eclectic range of mekhla chadar, the two-piece dress that Assamese women wear, gamosas, the red and white traditional towel, ubiquitous in the state, and saris and stoles made of its local silks like muga, pat and eri. Yet another important place of Assam for a visitor is Hajo, 32 kilometers west of Guwahati. Hajo is unique as Hindus, Muslims and Buddhists consider it to be a sacred place. The Highgreave Madhav Temple is perhaps the oldest temple in Hajo, believed to be originally built by Pala rulers in the 6th century. Then there is Daulgriha, the Ganesha Temple, the Kedareshwar Temple, Haragauri Temple, among others. Hajo is also home to Poa Mecca, literally one-fourth of Mecca. The Dargah on Garurachal Hill has the tomb of the 14th century Sufi Pir, Sheikh Ghiyasuddin Aulia. Hajo is also seen by a section of Buddhists as the place where the Buddha attained Parinirvana or half the enlightenment. A trip to Assam is incomplete without a visit to three other places, the Kaziranga National Park, the Manas National Park and Simsagar Town. The 850 square kilometers wide World Heritage Site, Kaziranga, is home to the one-horned rhino. A memorable way of exploring Kaziranga is on elephant back, as the gentle creatures meander through the tall grass and the beetles or flood-formed lakes. There's every possibility of coming face to face with the rhinos or see them grazing unmindful of human presence. The elephant festival held every February in Kaziranga is a big draw, with diverse cultural shows, food stalls and a riveting display of antics by domesticated elephants. A range of luxury to budget hotels and resorts that serve authentic Assamese food are available for tourists who stay and enjoy days in the midst of nature. The Manas National Park is also a World Heritage Site. The park was declared part of Chirang Ripu Elephant Reserve, which serves as the international corridor for elephant migration between India and Bhutan. Spread over 500 square kilometers on the banks of River Manas in Baksa and Chirang districts, the park has an extensive wet savanna grasslands. Besides hosting a formidable variety of fauna and flora, Manas is home to the rare golden langur, the wild buffalo and clouded leopard. In winter, hundreds of migratory birds flock to Manas. Sibsagar in Upper Assam is worth a visit to get an idea about how the Ahoms lived. It's the capital of Ahom Kingdom between 1228 and 1826. It has quite a few places of tourists' interest, like the Sibsagar water tank, excavated by Ahom Queen Ambika in 1734. The twin temples of Shiva Dol, Vishnu Dol and Devi Dol are a must visit. Take a stopover at the Thai Museum here to look at the textiles and other artifacts belonging to the Ahom kings. Jayasagar, the water tank 5 kilometers from Sibsagar, is by far the largest of all the tanks made by the Ahoms. It was built by King Rudra Singha in the memory of his mother, Joymuthi, who was tortured to death by their enemies because she would not reveal her husband, Gadadhar Singha's whereabouts. Ranghar, Karenghar, Talatalghar, the palaces of Ahom kings, are some other attractions in Sibsagar. If there is time at hand, three other places should be included in the itinerary. One is Majuli, the largest riverine island in Asia. Majuli is dotted with over 100 Vaishnava monasteries, which are a repository of Shankaradeva's teachings. Though the ideal time to visit Assam begins in end September, planning a trip to the state in April can bring with it a host of new experiences. Besides seeing the best of nature in springtime, a visitor can enjoy the state's biggest occasion for song, dance, food and festivity, Bihu.
And now we bring you a song capturing the mood of the river Brahmaputra in Assam.
Yeah, I get it. শান্ত তুমি খনে রুদ্র
পলে পলে নব নব চিত্র
ও শির প্রবাহিত বই জোয়া বই জোয়া ব্রহ্মারে পুত্র তুমি সৃষ্টিরে উৎস ও প্রণাম ব্রহ্ম পুত্র
নমামি ব্রহ্ম পুত্র
With that, we have come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
Teri lehron mein pita ki baahein mile
teri boondon se faslon
तेरे किनारे जीवन का है खजाना तू बहना यूं ही बहना
यह धरती सजल कर बहना
तू देश के कंधे का है नीला दुशला नाम ब्रह्म पुत्र नमामि ब्रह्म লহরে জীবনর জিউতি জলে
তোমার নীলিম নয়নতে সেনেহরে ফুল ফুলে
নদী তু নহই তুমি মহানদ ক্রোধিত নহবা হই দুর্মদ তোমার অবিরত গতি প্রবাহত হয়তো সহিসা চেতনা কত শত
ক্ষণে শান্ত তুমি ক্ষণে রুদ্র পলে পলে নব নব চিত্র
ও শির প্রবাহিত বই জোয়া বই জোয়া ব্রহ্মারে পুত্র তুমি সৃষ্টিরে উৎস প্রণাম ব্রহ্ম পুত্র
নমামি ব্রহ্ম
ব্রহ্মপুত্র নমামি ব্রহ্মপুত্র ব্রহ্মপুত্র ব্রহ্মপুত্র
This program was produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.